Welcome into the latest edition of ESPN FC. I'm Dan Thomas, joined by Shaka Hislop and Stevie Nicol. That's it, the January transfer window is over, but some big deals done on the final day. No bigger than Enzo making that British record move from Benfica to Chelsea for a reported 121 million euros. Elsewhere, leaving Chelsea, Jorginho surprisingly heading to league leaders Arsenal. Meanwhile, Christian Eriksen out. We learned today, of course, till April. Savitzer coming in as another body in Ten Hag's squad. He makes that loan move from Bayern to United. Pedro Porro also on loan to Spurs from Sporting. And João Cancelo, as reported yesterday, is leaving Manchester City till the end of the season and heading to Bayern Munich. For more on this, let's welcome in Shoei Dolacicin is with us, as is Gab and Jules. We've got to start with Enzo Fernandez, Gab. What a big, big signing that is, certainly financially.
It's a huge signing. I mean, whenever you're dealing with a release clause, I think he's the most expensive midfielder in history. He's the most expensive player in the history of the Premier League. So I think instantly lays down, I think, a massive, massive. It's not an enormous body of work. 6 months at Benfica. Before that, I think he had games at River. And at the World Cup, but evidently in that time he's shown that he can be a difference maker in the Champions League as well for a Benfica team that were flying. And Chelsea rolled the dice, locked him up through 2031, I believe, another 8.5 year contract.
Jules, I think it's fair to say that no other club in the world would have paid this figure for him.
Yes, I guess you're right, because Chelsea were the only one really negotiating with Benfica who really wanted to keep Enzo, and it's Enzo who pushed and put them under pressure for them to accept the Chelsea offer, which is the full release clause, 120 million euros, like Gab was saying. I think the fear for Chelsea was, had they waited for the summer, that maybe then other clubs would have joined the race. And then if you suddenly you find yourself from being the only one trying to make that deal to being there with Real Madrid and with Manchester City and with PSG and with maybe a few others, then it becomes more difficult. So they wanted to do that deal now. They knew they had to strengthen in midfield because they were average in midfield. They needed more better players, which they got with Enzo, of course. And they wanted younger players as well, which they got. He's only 22, he's got the future ahead of him, is an incredible talent. Whether you agree with the fee or not, it doesn't matter so much. It's just a wonderful talent that will add a lot to that team.
What's striking about the story, obviously, that he just joined Benfica in the summer for 14 million and now he's going for this club record, Stevie. How much of a risk is this from a Chelsea perspective?
It's a risk because you're paying 120 million. If you're paying 60 million for him, it's not such a big risk, because of the body of work that he has. Yes, it's in a World Cup. But, you know, you 120 million, I'm looking for a lot of goals. I'm looking for a guy who's box-to-box. I'm looking for a guy who's doing both. I'm looking for a guy who's doing everything, by the way, for 120 million. So, as far as the future, yes. Common sense would say he's going to get better. But again, I'm saying that, but for 120 million, you want to know exactly what you're getting.
Right.
I don't think anybody can turn around after 6 months pretty much at the top that you know what you're getting for the next 10 years. I just don't think you do.
It's an incredible rise.
It really is. I mean, if you're Benfica, you haven't paid what you did, and all of a sudden you get this payday if you're Enzo Fernandez and you have a contract at a club like Chelsea and what they're paying for the next 8 seasons, you take it every single time. It just doesn't make footballing sense, as we've been discussing. And as far as the fee being a gamble, I'm with Stevie. 120 million for a midfielder, regardless of how we slice or dice this, it's a gamble. If you pay 120 million for a striker, you expect 30, 35 goals a season. I'm not sure you're getting that from Enzo Fernandez as a midfielder. So you cannot see this as anything other than a gamble that only a club like Chelsea would take, certainly right now.
Dom, what do you like about him?
He's a player. Don't get me wrong, Dan. I think he can do the lot. He's a typical number eight. He can play. He can sit. He knows the game. I mean, Shaka said there, he's not sure he'll get 30 goals a season. I'll tell you now, he'll be nowhere near 30 goals a season. So God knows what the likes of Victor Osimhen and Harry Kane are worth, the lads that stick it in the back of the net for fun. But in terms of the player, 22, he works hard. He likes it. He basically does everything, Dan. He does everything you'd want as a number eight. He's not just a defensive midfield player. He can get goals. He can get assists. He's got an eye for a pass. He drifts into different areas, but he's also very disciplined at the same time. And I think for someone like Graham Potter, he's definitely a player that you would build your side around for obvious reasons. You cost that amount of money. The talent is there. It's whether you're going to get the finished article and what you see. And listen, it's not my money. I don't care. But I've been tweeting about Caicedo in the last couple of days. And it's almost like the Premier League teams now are just going bonkers with their money, the valuations. £80 million, £120 million. There's so many of these players out there in Europe, if you want to scout them and take your time. So to go from £10 million from River Plate to Benfica, then over 100 in 6 or 7 months, tells me that Chelsea have massively overpaid.
Jules, how does he fit into this starting 11, in your opinion?
Oh, well, it's interesting because it's clearly a work in progress under Graham Potter. We've seen, you know, through the whole season that we're not really sure exactly what the idea is or what Graham Potter is trying to do with this team. However, he's got loads of new players now, loads of new signings that he can integrate in his team. What we've seen at Benfica, certainly with Enzo, is that Florentino Luis was playing next to him in a double pivot. Florentino Luis was a more defensive-minded midfielder, who is also tough, who he just likes the fight with, and letting almost Enzo to do the creativity, the progressive carries of the ball as well, which is has been excellent in Portugal all through the first half of the season. Is there a player like that right now in the Chelsea squad? I'm not so sure. I would say that maybe Zakaria is the best complement of Enzo in this team. You can play Enzo and Kovacic and asking Enzo to sit a little bit more, but you would lose a bit of what makes him special, I think. So Graham Potter will have to find the right formula. I would think that now, if it's taken them 3 weeks, that in those 3 weeks' time, Graham Potter had plenty of time, him and his staff, to work out already, okay, we're getting this duel now. This is how he's played before. All the stars, they've got everything. I would be surprised if they don't already have a plan for him. Otherwise, it would be bonkers.
That starting 11, is that good enough to close the gap and get a top four finish?
No. I looked at that midfield and it didn't inspire me. Kovacic, Fernandes and Mer. It didn't inspire me. Kovacic, what has he given Chelsea this year? Not a lot. Mount's not given much this year. And you've got a young guy... 22, who's coming for 120 million, who's going to have pressure on him when he steps on the field. Every single eye in the world of football will be expecting for 120 million this guy to hit the ground running.
But to that point, Stevie, you look up front, Mudryk, okay, not had an awful lot to go on, but what we've seen so far, he's looked very good.
Jean Felix. Not played a game.
I'm just saying, got not an awful lot to go on, but what we've seen so far has looked pretty good. I still think that Chelsea's biggest miss is that out-and-out goal scorer. Havertz, good player, but he's not the goal scorer that Chelsea need in terms of certainly challenging the top two in the Premier League table. So this team continues to take shape, but I still think it's a way off from really worrying what we know of Manchester City and what we've seen of Arsenal so far this season.
Gab, what are Chelsea fans saying? Obviously, we're talking here with a kind of sensible heads on. They must just be like, good, we need players. At least someone's going out there and spending the money to get them.
Well, I mean, obviously, they'd rather the club showed ambition and spent money than not spent money. Chelsea fans, longer-standing Chelsea fans who remember the Roman Abramovich years, are used to spending money. I think right now the concern is more about Graham Potter and where they are on the table. But obviously, when it comes to Enzo Fernandez, you know, this is somebody everybody saw on television. You saw him lifting the World Cup. I think he's going to excite people. Mudryk as well, if you watch the Champions League. Some of these younger guys who came in, whether it's Fofana, even, you know, Bayashil, who isn't like a no-name, but he is a younger player. I think people are going to say, all right, we got to put our trust into this, that they know what they're doing, because, you know, this isn't like the days when, you know, they were signing Crespo and Shevchenko. They've decided to go, not so much Enzo, but with some of the other ones, they decided to go for perhaps players who had an upside, who were younger, and who still cost a lot of money. Because I guarantee you, you know, probably not that many Chelsea fans had Malo Gusto posters up on their walls last summer.
Gab, the question is, and I know we don't really have time to kind of go in depth with this, are they basically giving these long contracts, which means that the money's spread over time, which means they can kind of dodge financial fair play? Is that too simplistic?
It's a little simplistic. I don't think it's necessarily a financial fair play dodge, because UEFA are very likely to pass a rule saying that, because a lot of countries within UEFA have a limit of 5 years, they can say, well, you can give the guy a 50-year contract if you like, but we're going to calculate the FFP amortization over 5 years. I think Chelsea are prepared for that. Obviously, in a case like this, between the wages and the transfer fee, if they are going to calculate it over 5 years, you know, you're looking at taking a hit of something in the order of, what, $35 million each year. That is a really, really a ton of money for the duration of the contract. So how that shakes out, we'll see. But, you know, Todd Boehly has enough people advising him. They know what financial fair play is going to look like. They know the new financial sustainability rules. And I would imagine that they wouldn't have done this if they didn't feel that they could go and meet the requirements.
Top four, Don?
This season, not for me. I'll tell you what it does, Dan. I think it puts an awful lot of pressure on Graham Potter. I think with the signings and the $600 million that's been spent since the summer, and close to $300 million in this window, it puts a lot of pressure on their league position. If they don't rise, and even if they miss out on top four, if they go from 10th to, say, 5th, and they finish the season well, and you could see what the project was going to be like, and you could see the style of player, and you see the work that the players like Enzo Fernandez and Mudryk are going to bring in the next few months, then you can be optimistic, I think, as a Chelsea fan for next season. I don't think they make it this season, though.
OK, we saw Jules texting away. Obviously, there are still deals to be 100%. What are you laughing at, Shaq?
I'm just texting Jules doing the deal.
Jules finalising the deals. Hakim Ziyech to PSG, Jules?
Well, yeah, that one was done. We were told it was done half an hour ago, and that it was all agreed on the loan without an obligation to buy, without an option to buy, full stop, for PSG from Chelsea. And now I got a few messages about maybe an issue with the paperwork. Although PSG is saying that they filed on time, but maybe and the problem was on the league's end. So the LFP, which is the French league, the issue maybe was on their end, which in that case, I mean, PSG feel that maybe they have a case to say, listen, we sent on time, it was not our fault, so I need to find out a little bit more about what happens. But it was certainly agreed on time, and then they had to file the paperwork, as you do for those kind of transfers, especially international transfer, which PSG were confident would be okay, but now it seems that there might have been a little issue on the league's end.
Aside from the little issue, if he does go, Jules, where does he play?
That's the big question. I mean, as a PSG fan, I said to Gab earlier, my dream is to see this 4-4-2 flat with Ziyech on the right, Neymar on the left, and a front two of Messi and Mbappe. I don't know who would defend in that team. I don't really care, to be fair. I don't know who would be the two poor guys who play as a double pivot. I don't care either. I mean, me and Gab can play, Stevie and Shaka can play there. Don, if he wants to, I don't care. It's not going to happen. I love Hakim Ziyech, I have to say. You're right, I don't know where he fits. I don't know how much game time he would get. It's a better option than what you had before when Sarabia, who's not a very good footballer, was there at the club. At least it's an upgrade. But I don't know. I don't think the problem really was attacking-wise. I think they have other issues to sort out, and they haven't really addressed them in this transfer window, which is my issue. But he's a talented player, for sure, and for a six-month loan, you don't really take any risk. I hope he can bring a bit of creativity, but again, it's not what they lack. But I don't know, I'm hoping that he can bring something to that team nevertheless.
Passion, drive and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights and more. Whether you're into speed, power or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only, exclusions apply. Did you know less than 10% of Americans own an e-bike? Here's why that should change. Studies show e-bike owners actually end up exercising more, plus getting outside more. If you're looking for a balanced lifestyle and everyday adventures, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes. They are the number one selling e-bike brand in America. Their bikes are typically foldable, pre-assembled, and have serious range up to 150 miles on some models. Check them out today at electricebikes.com and add some more adventure to your week. That's lectricebikes.com.
Surprisingly today, maybe, Jorginho out at Stamford Bridge and he's heading to Arsenal, Gab. This seemed to move very quickly.
It did, and I think this is really a tremendous move for Chelsea. Simply because Jorginho was in he had 6 months remaining on his contract. It wasn't clear that he was going to get a new one. He'd obviously been linked with a return elsewhere. I think free agency appealed to him, but you know what? I think winning a Premier League title appeals to him even more. So to be able to get, you know, I think it's $10 million in base fee plus up to $2 million in bonuses from Chelsea's perspective for a player, and getting his wages off the books as well, for a player who, you know, you would have gotten you zero in the summer because he would have been a free agent. That's a tremendous piece of business. From Arsenal's perspective, it's an 18-month deal. So I think that also works for Jorginho because I think he's going to have, you know, if things don't work out at Arsenal, he'll be coming up to free agency again soon in just 18 months' time. So from Arsenal's perspective, they're getting a proven winner, a Champions League winner, and, of course, a Euro winner as well. And, you know, not too many guys at Arsenal, except for the Man City lads, maybe Thomas Partey, have really won anything before, so I think that matters as well. And it's a guy Arteta has liked for a very, very long time. I mean, don't forget, he was very close to signing for Manchester City back when Arteta was Pep's assistant a few years back.
How does this make you feel about your $50 bet, Stevie?
Do you want it to know? Yeah, I'm with Gav. I think this is a great signing for Arsenal. Fantastic. You know, if Xhaka and Partey don't play, the drop-off is really big.
Right.
The fact that they've got Jorginho now, the drop-off is small, it's tiny. So, no, I think this is a fantastic piece of business.
I agree. It's a fantastic piece of business for Arsenal. I'm not so sure it's a great piece of business for Jorginho to go from Chelsea where he wasn't playing. And in all honesty, I don't see Arteta splitting up that partnership between Partey and Xhaka. So Jorginho is sitting, waiting, hoping for an injury, which is never a good place to be as a player, hoping for a teammate to get injured for you to get your chance. So from that perspective, it's a little bit confusing. But if you're Arteta, if you're Arsenal, you like the cover that a player of this quality brings.
Does this make them even stronger favourites in your eyes to win the title, Don?
Tiny percentage, Dan. I think it's a smart signing. I can remember speaking to Frank Lampard when he was going through a bad time at Chelsea in terms of the results.
Yeah, well, as we get to
win. No. Because he was talking about Jorginho and he said he's one of the very few in a bad time that had the personality to get on the ball and wanted the ball. And I was watching Chelsea over that bad period and he was absolutely right. You know, and he'll be a perfect fit, I think, for Arsenal going back into Europe next month. It's another body for Premier League work. The squad's probably going to be overstretched in the coming months. They're pushing for titles. I think it's a great signing. I think in the latter part in games, if Thomas Partey's struggling or Granit Xhaka or one or two young boys lose a little bit of confidence or form. You're bringing, like Gab said, in a serial winner that's done the lot, won everything, and he plays the game the way he plays the game. He's very cultured on the ball. As I said, he's a personality. I think it's a wonderful sign, and I think he'll fit in really well.
That surprised us, as did movement from Manchester United. We weren't expecting them to make any additions to their squad in the latter stage of the transfer window, but their hand was somewhat forced. Ten Hag, speaking ahead of the game against Nottingham Forest, confirmed that Christian Eriksen will be out until at least the end of April after this horror challenge that we saw against Reading. So obviously reinforcements needed to be brought in, and United seem to move quite quickly on this, as it's, as I say, yet to be 100% confirmed, but making that loan move from Bayern, of course, joined Bayern from Leipzig, but it's hardly featured at all, but it is a replacement for Eriksen, Stevie.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, he's, as far as his CV is concerned, it's great on such short notice to be able to pick up a guy of his quality and his experience. I guess in question marks if he's fit, because as you said, he's hardly kicked a ball all year. But when you've only got a couple of hours to make a sign-in, it's not a bad gamble to sign somebody of his quality.
Nagelsmann loved him. Julesen, it was one of his players that he wanted to come to Bayern. Never really, though, seemed to get himself in the starting 11.
No, you're right, really strange. The move at the time made sense in a way because he was very good with Leipzig. He was getting close to the end of his contract. He had a year left, so they got him on the cheap at Bayern, which is usually what they do. And then you thought, okay, this is, even with Goretzka and Kimmich, this is great. He never adapted maybe to the mentality, to the size of the club, I don't know, to the competition, maybe, because he was certain to be a starter all the time at Leipzig. And then suddenly he became like, okay, you need to earn your place in this Bayern team. And if you get the Leipzig version at United, I think this is a great signing that we love. If you get the Sabitzer that we saw Bayern, out of confidence, out of, like, you know, of game fitness, match fitness, if you want, I'm not so sure that in the space of 4 months he'd be able to find all of that again, to be back to the Sabitzer from Leipzig. So on paper, it looks interesting. I just don't know if Ten Hag will have enough time to almost revive his career, to find his form again. But I guess Ten Hag, different profile, by the way, than Eriksen. Very, very different style of player. Let's not forget. So number-wise, he's a replacement in the squad, but he's not really a replacement on the pitch. So I'm waiting to see how that could work.
Go on, Gab.
No, I completely agree. I think it was imperative to get a body in because, you know, without Eriksen, he plays with two central midfielders. And without Eriksen, it's Fred, it's McTominay, it's Casemiro. I mean, there's literally nobody else unless you want to bring Phil Jones back into midfield. No?
Yeah.
You want to go there? But Sabitzer does play different. We might see maybe more of a pressing United pressing differently than you might do with Eriksen, again, because it's something Sabitzer did before. And he's got the skill set to do that. But as Joel said, not a lot of time to work in him. But, you know, you had to bring somebody in.
Can they finish top four without Eriksen, Don?
They can. I don't think Christian Eriksen was ever going to be the man that would define whether they could get top four or not. I think what I liked about what Ten Hag done to Christian Eriksen, he proved that he can play him in a deeper role alongside Casemiro. They sort of played together, and I wouldn't have thought ever really, not many managers have ever played Christian Eriksen as a sort of traditional number eight. They've always played him one of the three boys in behind the striker. So he's done that to him. He's improved his game where now he's looking forward. So obviously he's gone out the side. Donny van de Beek, another one that Ten Hag's lost through injury. Excuse me. So Sabitzer comes in, who's not, again, in that sort of traditional eight. He's more of a 10 as well. So a good football brain, like Jules said as well. If you get the Leipzig version, he was close to being a 1-3 man. So he's got more goals in the locker, I think, than Christian Eriksen. So I think Ten Hag will use him, and he's got a very good football brain. So maybe play him a little bit deeper. But, you know, you're bringing a very, very good body in, and you're bringing a really exciting player in if he's fit.
Elsewhere, someone who's leaving Manchester for Bayern is, of course, João Cancelo. We reported this as it broke yesterday, the loan move confirmed today. Jules, reading reports on this, it sounds like that Cancelo not in a starting 11 is quite a toxic presence within the squad. So this kind of made sense from Pep Guardiola's point of view to ship him off.
Yeah, that's right. There's a couple of things. The fact that he lost his place in the team and didn't take it well at all. I mean, I guess you wouldn't, but certainly his attitude was an issue. Pep didn't like the way he was behaving after losing his place in the team. He also wanted to go. And I think Pep has been pretty clear before, if a player doesn't want to be at Manchester City, doesn't want to be part of their squad, then the club will try everything to shift him. And that's exactly what happened with Joao Cancelo. He found a club in Bayern who was badly in need of a fullback because of the injuries that they have, because of the players out of form like Benjamin Pavard, for example, even Alphonso Davies to a certain extent. No Lucas Hernandez, of course. Stanisic is still a bit raw, so they needed someone badly. There's an option to buy for 70 million euros in the summer for someone who's going to turn 29 in May. I don't think they would trigger that, but maybe if he has a very good 4 months. But again, if he's the version that we saw, the very good version of Cancelo, why not? But again, he's not going to defend much, and they don't play with inverted fullbacks, so you're not going to get the version that you got at his best at City either.
I think they don't play with inverted fullbacks, but if it's the best Cancelo, you will make an accommodation for him. You can play him on the left or on the right. It's not going to make a difference. And as far as the option to buy is concerned, we should need to make this very, very clear. If the stories are true of a serious falling out with Pep, they can write 70 million, but if he's there, if he's happy, and they go to City, hey, we're going to keep him and we'll only give you 30 million, I think it's that stage. Going back to what Pep said, if you don't want to be here, they're not going to keep an unhappy player. Remember, the group is so important to Pep Guardiola. So, I mean, I think this is potentially, together with the Enzo deal, this is potentially the biggest, if it works out, it is potentially the biggest or most important deal that we've seen in the window.
How big a loss is this to City, Don?
I was thinking exactly the same thing, Dan. I think this is a horrendous loss for Man City. It's obviously a gain for Bayern, but in my opinion, Cancelo's their best fullback by a million miles. He plays the game, you know, at fullback like he's a number 10. He's got absolute quality. He could easily step into midfield. So you're asking an awful lot now of the fullbacks that Man City have got to try and chase down a Champions League, to try and chase down an Arsenal when you lose your best fullback. Now, I get the dynamics when you fall out with a manager. He might think for the greater good of the dressing room, it might be best moving him on. But now the window's closed and you haven't got a fullback like Cancelo is, that makes Man City, in my opinion, a whole lot weaker.
You're pulling a face at Don, Stevie.
No, Don. I'm just thinking. I don't see how Cancelo is so big. You know, for all the points that you might think he'll gain playing for City, if he's such a bigger pain in the backside in the dressing room, he'll lose you more points. So I'm not too bothered that Cancelo's gone. I don't see it as that huge.
What about for Bayern, Shaq?
I don't think that that's Bayern's greatest need right now. I think Bayern's greatest need is somebody creative in midfield. And Cancelo, even the good version of Cancelo, isn't exactly that. So it doesn't solve their biggest problem for me. And so I appreciate you bringing a good player in. I think there's a greater need.
Gab, where do you stand on Cancelo and how much of an impact it could have on City's title chances?
I mean, look, if Guardiola's made his decisions, Guardiola may also feel that with Erling Haaland in there, maybe you need a different kind of service. I mean, let's not forget, we talked about sort of the fullback stepping into midfield and playmaking, which is what Cancelo does, more so than being sort of an up and down the wing, delivering crosses type winger. They had another guy who did that, Zinchenko, who's now doing it at Arsenal. Maybe when your forward is Erling Haaland, you want something different from your fullback in terms of service and crosses. Maybe the evolution's there. But in terms of Cancelo being this big troublemaker and so Pep had to get rid of him, kind of feel with certain clubs, and I think it's certainly the case with Manchester City, player moves on, it's an unexpected move, the player was a big star. We get the club version of what happened. We don't have the other
wasn't
version.
Wasn't he grumpy at Portugal as well, Gab? Didn't he cause problems there in the World Cup, though, as well?
So why else are they letting him go? What version are you looking for?
I just told you why. Maybe you feel that when you have Erling Haaland, you need a different type of service for him than what João Cancelo might offer going in midfield. Maybe you feel that Nathan Ake can deliver that down the left.
Meanwhile, away from João Cancelo, let's focus on Spurs, shall we? They got a deal done late in the day. Pedro Porro to make the move from Sporting for a reported €45 million. Gab or Jules, who has seen Pedro Porro more? What can you tell us about him?
Yeah, I mean, he's a right wing back, very used to that system, not so much a back four as a right back, but the right wing back. That's how Sporting played. And Ruben Amorim has been very good, especially the title season, where he was really exceptional. He's a former La Masia and former Manchester City player, by the way, who never played, never got to play for the first team. And City, by the way, are getting some of that money that Spurs have paid, the €45 million. I think he's going to get €10 million for City. For a player that's never played for them, he's pretty good. But he's very exciting, and they had many issues with their right wing backs because Emerson Royal is not very good, neither is Doherty, Jed Spence neither. So in the end, it made a lot of sense for them to invest heavily on someone, and certainly €45 million is a lot of money for someone like Pedro Porro, but I think they really believe that he can make a difference.
He's 23 years old as well. Like, he has an upside.
Plenty of time, yeah.
Conte will still moan about it, though, won't he, Gam?
If he doesn't deliver, if he doesn't, you know, he's there. He's got to work. But I think it's interesting, though, when we talk about Spurs' recruitment, Conte's contract, as you know, expires in June, and he's not signed a new one or really been offered a new one, realistically, from what we understand. Fabio Paratici, their head of recruitment, has this massive court case and this ban, which he's going to appeal. But, you know, I think this is what you might... I think it's interesting to read this because from what Jules was saying about Porro, you know, kind of needing to play as a wing back, you know, rather than a flat back four and whatever else, it does maybe point to the fact that in their minds, Spurs are saying, right, let's give Conte what he needs now, and if it works out, you know, we do our best to make sure that he stays, to make sure that we reach a deal. Because, like I said, this isn't accommodating people who you know are going to be part of your future for the next 3 to 5 years.
Of course, Jules, we're live now. Apparently, the transfer deadline is closed. That's what's supposed to happen is we talk about transfers that have gone through, yet we're still in a situation, we're still in limbo with Enzo. We mentioned Ziyech as well, Sabitzer's yet to be confirmed. Why is there such a faff? Everybody knows the rules. Why can't it all get done before and then we can just go on air and our producer's not going to break down in my ear?
It's a good question, to be fair. I mean, Gab can explain that the system in which you have to file the transfer sometimes takes time. The paperwork also has to be exchanged by the two clubs. That can take time. Often you allow a bit more time. Some clubs manage to just, you know, go around the rules a little bit, and sometimes you register a player at 1 a.m. when the deadline is midnight. So there's ways of doing it. But yeah, it seems that those big deals especially are always done right.
So the way these deals are done, it's all online, Dan. It's like doing your taxes, right? There's this for international transfers. There's this thing called the FIFA transfer matching system. And you go and you upload your documents and you upload your contract. And the other party goes and uploads their documents, and there are lawyers who check in real time. All right, everything matches. All the numbers are the same. All the signatures are the same. And then, you know, they hit a green button, and the transfer is approved. At that point, then you need to register him with the league. You mentioned Ziyech before. Yeah. With FIFA TMS, there's no reason there should be a holdup, but maybe then the French league has to go and you know, tick some boxes with
That's
it.
Right.
And then comes the announcement. As long as you've uploaded the documents into the system before the deadline, as far as FIFA's concerned, you're fine. But remember, that deadline that's not a FIFA deadline. The deadline for when the transfer window closes, that is set by the individual leagues, and they all have different times. So then in the end, it comes down to how does the league handle it? Does the league look at when it was uploaded to FIFA TMS and for the matching system. Are there other criteria which come into play? So these are all things that could be holding it up. All a club can do, really, is just hit that upload button, and then it's out of their hands.
We should all be like Germany. At 6 o'clock, it closes, and then we've got plenty of time for the show, and not a rush at the end.
Yes. No, exactly. I'd like you to see you uploading your documents onto the thing.
I'm getting a headache.
But this happened. Why do they not just get it done earlier, Gab?
Because you're negotiating until the end to try to get the best possible deal, right? That's what you're trying to do. It should be pretty straightforward. I think in pretty much almost every case that we've talked about tonight, it's been pretty straightforward to go and negotiate the personal terms, right? Back in the olden days, you negotiated with the club, you agreed a fee with the club, you then go and ask for permission to speak to the player and so on. And now they say, well, this is stupid because if the player doesn't want to come, we can't reach a deal with him. There's no point negotiating with the other club. We don't want to tip your hand. So oftentimes the deal is done with the player first, and then you have to go negotiate with the club. And, you know, they're going to hold out to the last possible minute. They're going to want to find replacements. The Pedro Porro deal, for example, one of the things that was holding it up was Sporting wanted a replacement. They tried to get Hector Bellerin from Barcelona. Well, Bellerin had a contract. He said, hey, life in Barcelona is pretty cool. This is a nice city. I've got roots here, even though I'm not playing. You know, all these things come into it. And it is like a chain, and sometimes, you know, it is a smaller part down the chain that is the big holdup, because obviously the clock ticks down. The medicals, you might have heard, like, oh, he hasn't done his medical yet, and so on. That's less important because a lot of times they put a rider in there that the deal is valid pending the medical, so he can take the medical, you know, the next day, and as long as there isn't something seriously wrong with him, the deal will still go through. But yeah, this is the main reason why you wait the last minute. I mean, we talked about Chelsea. Chelsea made their initial offer at the start of the transfer window for Enzo Fernandez, right? Hindsight being 2020, if Chelsea knew that, hey, we were going to have to spend $120 million for him, they had the deal in place with the player already, why not get him at the start of the window? He could have played a couple of those games. Maybe they might have had some better results as well. Maybe they'd be further up the table. Maybe it could have been a different scenario. So all these things really come into it.
Don, bringing back transfer memories for you?
Yeah, watching Moneyball and how easy it was for Brad Pitt just sorting out a deal instead of all these computers and number crunching, just go and ring someone and say, how much do you want for him? Oh, it's a buyout clause. Oh, we've got to give 120 million. Anything less? No, the buyout clause 120. There you go. Pay the money. Do it 3 weeks ago.
Well, there we go. Keeps us entertained, doesn't it? Supposedly. Thank you very much to Gab and Jules. Just a reminder, the latest edition of the Gab and Jules podcast will be available on Thursday.
Gab and his Eagles.
I know Gab's got an Eagles song. He's going to be all excited. Super Bowl coming up, of course. We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/FC. Just go to Indeed.com/FC right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on the podcast. Indeed.com/FC, terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Newcastle are through to their first domestic final since 1999 after beating Southampton by 2-1 in the Carabao Cup semi-final second leg. They beat them 3-1 on aggregate, meaning that they are through to Wembley to most likely face Manchester United. Don Hutchinson, with your Newcastle ways, you must be very happy.
Oh, honestly, Dan. I mean, when Anthony Gordon got presented to the St. James's crowd before the game, you could see the look on his face. You know, he's left Everton, gone to Newcastle, and it was a capacity crowd. War flags were out. It was black and white. There was colour everywhere. The noise, the atmosphere was electric. So then the game kicked off, and they went 2-0 up and absolutely cruising, playing like Brazil. Then all of a sudden, it got a little bit twitchy in the second half. Bruno Guimarães deserved the red card. You know, it's probably a little bit similar to the Fabinho tackle that wasn't punished a couple of days ago. But I never really felt in danger. I think the scoreline was just enough away from Southampton. If it was, you know, 3-2 on aggregate with 5 minutes to go, 10 minutes ago, it would have been a little bit twitchy. But the 2-goal advantage was just enough to see them through. So, yeah, Man United potentially in the final.
Most likely, isn't it, after they won the first leg against Forest 3-0. Shaka, you were at Newcastle when they made it to the FA Cup final in 1998. Just give us an insight as to what this means to the city.
A lot. The city responds to success. The city responds to a team that represents the fan base as well as it can. Sydney felt like we did so through the mid-90s, culminating in those cup finals in both 98 and then again in 99. And given the 15 months that this club has been through with the change of ownership, Mike Ashley going out, it's safe to say that nobody was a huge fan of Mike Ashley, and then the ownership coming in, and how they've been able to turn this team around. How they've been able to turn this team around thanks to this man, Eddie Howe, who's spent but not huge in a way... In a way that I think the fans certainly appreciate the football the club is playing, the position in the league table, and now being back to a cup final, it just has been an incredible turnaround in 12, 15 months.
What was telling me, saw in those scenes, Stevie, no one left at the full-time whistle. They just wanted to celebrate this achievement.
Well, if you talk to any Geordie, they'll tell you that they've been starved of success for so many years.
Yeah.
I mean... 1955, last time they won a domestic silverware. So they've been crying out for it. And whenever you give them a sniff, they're going to take advantage. And you saw that today. The scenes before the game, as Don was saying, black and white everywhere, just excitement, emotion. And of course, for me, that's why Newcastle started the game so well. That crowd just pushing them forward.
Don, what would you take, a Champions League place or the Carabao Cup?
Oh, what a question that is. What a question that is. That's evil, Dan. I think,
yes,
do you know what?
Is.
I think it is. I think I'd take the Carabao Cup. In normal circumstances, if you're talking Liverpool, Man United, all the big teams, i.e. the established teams, if you like, they want Champions League football. But Newcastle are probably ahead of schedule. So Champions League football would be amazing for them. But I don't think any Geordie at the start of the season thought Newcastle will get into top four. I see an interview with Dan Byrne today, a local lad, a Newcastle fan. And it was a great interview. He was driving from the training ground to St. James's Park. And he got asked a question. He was telling his teammates, he said, listen, if we win a trophy here, we'll be heroes forever. And that's how much Newcastle players are revered on Tyneside. Shaka knows. And I've stood on the Gallagher end all the way through, you know, from about 8 till about 18. You know, I stood on the Gallagher end of the scoreboard, so I know what it's like. So if they win a trophy, Carabao Cup, I think they would snap your hands off.
You agree, Shaq?
Yeah, I don't see the questions being evil at all. I think it's pretty straightforward.
Thank you, Shaka.
For me, you take the Carabao Cup. I think the fans absolutely would. Meaningful silverware for the first time not the club's history, but since 1955. And Don's right. You put your name on that cup. You put your name on silverware. Every single player at the club goes down in Geordie folklore.
Any concern that they haven't spent more in the January transfer window to try and solidify their chase for a top four place? Obviously, Anthony Gordon, the big signing, Don.
No, not really, Dan. I don't think Newcastle, with financial fair play, can afford to play fantasy football. So I think the signings that they've made have been very, very good. It's steady away. There's more to come from the likes of Alexander Isak. Botman's just been an unbelievable signing, how he prized him away from the jaws of going to AC Milan. Nick Pope has got one of the best clean sheet records. I think Trippier was the major one, coming from Atletico Madrid. He was the one down when he signed. He didn't want a release clause in his contract if Newcastle went down. So he sort of set the tone. You see the way he plays. He's got the armband. Newcastle fans love him. And I think at the moment, I think you're seeing a steady... You've seen a steady rise in the standard of signings, which the Newcastle fans can get on board with. And I think it would be dangerous just to go out there and sign, you know, a really luxury player. Eddie Howe is not that type of manager. And I, by the way, I've got to hold my hand up and eat a little bit of humble pie with Eddie Howe. When he got appointed, you know, when his Bournemouth teams were in the Premier League over the 4 or 5 seasons he was there, he was averaging 65 goals against. And he went into Newcastle, who was sitting rock bottom, 1 win, and I thought... It looks like an appointment to me that maybe if we go down, he's going to bring us back up again. I said last season, I'll stand by it. He should have got manager of the year. If we win the Carabao Cup against Newcastle in the top four this season, well ahead of schedule, he should be manager of the year this season as well.
Manchester United then against Forest is tomorrow. United, massive favourites to book a place in the final against Newcastle. Coverage of that game starts at 2:30 Eastern on ESPN+.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/network.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
And most of what happens in extra time ends up in best of the month. Should we take a look at Stevie's preps for today's show?
Oh, here we go.
Here we go. Ready? Look at this.
This professional. Professional. A true professional.
Well, you look good, Stevie. You look like you're 69 now.
Yeah. Oh, that's not good. Stevie, put Sam on when he's watching Liverpool.
I just think Liverpool will score more goals than Brentford.
I don't think it really turned out any different than what we thought it probably would. You know,
you predicted a Liverpool win yesterday. What's the percentage chance that Frank Lampard and Steven Gerrard both get fired this season?
Zero. Zilch.
Ooh.
Frank Lampard sacked as manager of Everton. This is why they haven't done very well.
I'm not sure if you played football, but these kind of things happen.
Nader, have you ever played football, mate?
Hey, listen, has he not seen my clips on YouTube? How dare he? Jurgen, do better.
How do you pronounce it, Dan? It sounds like Duke Ellington.
Joe Ellington. It's our Brazilian researcher, and he wrote, Joel Linton is pronounced Joe Ellington. It's not pronounced Joel Linton.
Oh,
so right. There we go.
He's the reason.
I did not say he was the reason.
He just said
he's a contributing
factor. I just asked you the question, and you said that.
He's a contributing factor. How can you not?
It's a contributing factor.
How can you not agree
to that?
So
it's gone from his fault to a contributing factor.
When did I say it's his fault?
Oh, sorry. So whatever he comes out of your mouth counts now, as far as you're concerned.
Him against Klopp part 2.
You don't need to apologise.
But you don't know about my career.
No, I know about your career. I know about your career.
We don't say in France break a leg. We say, sorry, it's a bad word. We say
Alan Shearer didn't win anything, did he?
Alan Shearer won the Premier League with Blackburn.
Oh, facts. stupid facts. Stevie's got an effective finger. It's beautiful.
Tell you what, it's kept. Oh, it's bossed.
Oh,
it's bossed.
Oh,
it has, it's bossed.
I wonder what that smell is.
Yeah.
Oh, God!
It is! That's what the smell is.
I wondered what that smell was.
And you see, my underwear. You know, yes. The French flag.
No one wants to see the whole of the moon.
There is some information
that nobody needs
in their lives.
I'm going to start right now.
There we go.
Oh.
Wow.
Debonair.
Is that a photo or? Oh no, don't do that.
Frank, as a trained actor, can you do an American accent?
Are you doing? New York, baby.
These are this is the glasses, the kind of reading glasses that normal people will wear.
I don't know, Craig. Hands are much nicer.
What do you mean much nicer?
Yeah,
Jan's
are nicer, Craig.
Listen,
hold on.
So after an hour, I had no idea where it was.
I asked the phone, I said, all right. He said, he's laughing. I went, what? He went, I'm lost. I see a dog, but then there's a guy who walks Forever Source.
The electric man. That's a very bright jacket, Steve.
And the hunting season's just finished.
What's that got to do with hunting?
So I don't get a bow and arrow through the back of me.
Because you look. Because you.
Where have we got the people to the shooting set?
What are you looking like?
The deer season. The deer season's just finished.
You
so I don't
like
want to be walking. Well, if somebody sees haggis,
you look like a deer.
Listen. It wouldn't be the first time somebody's dog's been.
Well done,
somebody's
Stevie. I'm with you, my man.
Had a bear or something.
It's 2023.
I mean, you just don't know what you're talking about.
You get angry you about just,
I know, because you don't know. You're actually dead serious, and you don't know what you're talking about.
Oh, dear. We get paid for that nonsense. It's quite something. Stevie, you feature quite a lot there. Makeup. Stinky finger, getting lost in the woods.
Yeah, I can't believe the makeup won.
What's that?
Just.
Do you see what he was wearing? His salmon shirt.
What, a salmon shirt I don't have?
I don't have a salmon shirt.
Oh, yes, I do.
Oh, brilliant. That is it. That brings the end of today's show. Stay tuned, though, as Extra Time is next. I've been told Jules is being made to stay long as well. He'll be joining us along with Don. Welcome into the latest edition of Extra Time. Thank you for your tweets. Shaq is here, as is Stevie. We weren't expecting Jules to be with us as well, but you've been made to stay, Jules. You must be delighted. What has been a rather quiet day for you, I imagine.
I love being with you still at midnight, you know, after yes. The day that we had to dance on the day. But this is family, you know, this is what we do.
Yeah. I've got to ask you what the latest on Enzo is.
Well, I believe it's all done now that Chelsea filed on time. We're waiting now confirmation from the two clubs, Benfica and Chelsea, to announce it officially on, you know, on their channels, on their social media accounts and everything. We will know as well from a Benfica side the exact details of the deal, because they have to reveal them, unlike the Premier League clubs, for example. So we should get that probably tomorrow. I believe there's a few installments. That's what Chelsea wanted, with a 40 million euro transfer, like payment straight away before the installments. So we should know a bit more the details exactly of the deals tomorrow from the Benfica's side of things. But for Chelsea, they're surely getting ready now to announce the signing of Enzo Fernandez.
It's quite strange, Jules, to have you on with a caricature of yourself looking over your right shoulder, staring us down. There it is, look.
This is a little bit scary.
I think mine is better than Gab, to be fair.
It's not the best. So today we spent a lot of time together, and normally there's a stupid Stevie story that comes out. But it wasn't you who was the fool today, was it, Stephen? It was Dr. Shaka Hislop.
Oh.
Shaka?
Yeah. Yes, Dan?
Would you like to retell the story?
So I got a call from a friend today who said his daughter asked him. If there's any player who club ever let go, and then they brought him back. So we had just finished the pre-game for Newcastle.
So we went Thierry Henry.
So I asked Thierry Henry, Ronaldo,
Robbie,
we started going through
Robbie
games.
Fowler.
Robbie Fowler, we started thinking, it's like, yeah. And then about 10 or 15 minutes later, I remembered that I left West Ham and went back. But I was one of those players.
Genuinely took you that long as well, didn't it? It did.
Yes.
Okay, right. Shaka, do you think Chelsea has a chance of winning the Champions League with the new squad? Who have they got? Dortmund? Is it Dortmund in the next round?
I don't know.
Yeah, I think so.
Listen, at this point, it's anybody's game. A worse Chelsea team than this won in, was it 2012? When they beat Bayern in the final,
yes.
I don't think that Chelsea team was anywhere near as good as this one. You could even make an argument that Chelsea that eventually got the better of City. I thought they were City's second best in that final. Havertz scoring, so they can. I'm not putting my money on it.
What's more likely? Chelsea finish top four or Chelsea win the Champions League?
Ooh.
You probably have to say... I'd probably have to say the Champions League.
Right.
Because in the Premier League, they've been so inconsistent, so you wonder where they can pick enough points up to actually get in the top four. Whereas the Champions League, this is a knockout. Shaq has just told you that previous teams that weren't particularly great ended up winning the Champions League. So I would say the Champions League.
Don?
Same. Cup competition. I don't see them making 10 points up to try and get back into the top four. And it looks great, you know, when you sign all these players, and it's amazing for the Chelsea fans to grasp onto. But Graham Potter's got to stick all these players together in a system and get them going straight away. Because you can imagine Chelsea losing the next couple of games with all these brand new signings being integrated into the team. That's not going to be easy. So I think I'd go with Stevie, Champions League, cup competition.
Do you remember when you said Chelsea had a 0% chance of winning the Champions League, then they won it, Don?
I know, and I also said Frank Lampard and Steven Gerrard wouldn't get sacked this season as well, didn't I?
He's on a roll. Go on, Jones.
Dan, I think we need to remind everybody that the 7 signings that Chelsea have made in January won't all be able to play in the Champions League in the knockout stages, only 3 of the 7. So, Joao Felix, Mudryk, Badiashile, Madueke, Andre Santos, you know, Fofana and Enzo Fernandez, of course, among those 7, 4 will be left out from the Champions League squad, which means that, I don't know, let's say you keep Enzo, Mudryk and Badiashile, for example, and Joao Felix is not in the Champions League squad, but he's on fire in the league, for example. He will have to sit out the Champions League. So there will be a choice from Potter to make among those 7 new signings. And some are young. Andre Santos is 18. I don't know if they would have played him in the Champions League anywhere. But even regardless of that, they will have to pick 3 of the 7s to put in the Champions League squad. So that will have an impact also on the choices and the options that Potter will have in the Champions League.
That's why we kept you, Jules. That's why you're here.
Bang.
3 out of 7.
Thank you.
Ooh. Stevie, is the money spent on Gakpo and Nunez looking bad now? But Klopp says there is no money left for the midfield.
No, I don't think it makes them look bad. I certainly think they should have strengthened in the middle of the park. I don't know whether the club possibly being for sale has got anything to do with that.
Well, should they have not bought in Nunez and Gakpo and reinforced this midfield?
I have no problem with them bringing Nunez in. Again, see, the argument with Gakpo is that the potential of Gakpo is huge and the price you can get him for right now is so good that even though it may not seem or it may not be your need at that time, sometimes it just makes sense to make the signing.
Right.
So, yeah, they're not bad signings. They're just not exactly what they desperately need right now.
Don, which team in your past made the biggest fanfare celebration for you when you arrived? Were you nervous or just excited in your first few days at each new club?
Never got a fanfare. Never ever got a fanfare.
And Anthony Gordon had 50,000 fans chanting his name today, didn't he? That was brilliant.
Amazing. And I was very jealous because I was watching his face as he was walking out of St. James's Park. And he was like gasping, thinking like, what have I joined here? Like, this is a steam train, so I've never had a fanfare. I think the most nervous I got, the most apprehensive I got, is when I signed for Everton, having previously played for Liverpool. So that was always going to be a little bit twitchy, a little bit edgy. But to be honest, Dan, I've never done anything conventional in my career. I was born in England, played for Scotland, played for West Ham, played for Millwall, played for Liverpool, played for Everton. So there's so many things going on that it didn't faze me because of the type of player I was. All you got to do is stick a couple of tackles in, 2 foot someone, Everton fans will like you.
Well, there you go.
Didn't you play for Sunderland as well, Don?
There you go, Shaq. Newcastle supporter, played for Sunderland.
weirdo.
Did you get a fanfare when you were, when you broke the English record for a goalkeeper?
Nope.
No?
I signed the same summer that Newcastle signed Ferdinand, Ginola, Warren Barton. And then I came late just before the start of the season. Newcastle were playing up in Scotland. I can't remember exactly where. And there was no fanfare.
No, there's not many who's ever had a fanfare.
Nobody used to do that.
Fans, no. No.
No, they're a big fan. I've been to big fan. I've been at Ronaldo's presentation when it was full. Bernabeu was full.
Yeah, in Spain.
They do that in Spain. English clubs do that.
Not as good as the Santi Cazorla presentation. Have you seen that?
That's when
the magician makes him appear in like an empty vessel, covers it up, smoke, and then out comes Santi Cazorla.
Fancy.
Fantastic.
Look, Jules is working on another deal. Jules is doing another deal.
Always texts his wife going, I've got to stay late.
Is Jules like a policeman?
Is he like a policeman?
Does he have like snitches all round the world?
Oh.
Sending him information.
Is that what it is?
Does he have to pay
informers?
That's what it is.
Tell you what, there's €50.
Right.
If you call me and let me know when the deal's done.
Oh.
Is it one of those
50?
Deals?
I like how you give him the deal. How much do you pay your sources, Jules?
Nah, don't do that. You know, we do services for each other. That's what we do. That's how it works.
Ah, there you go. You write a nice story.
Somebody snitches for you, and then you snitch for them.
Oh, yeah. Just the domino effect of snitching.
See, as soon as somebody does it once, that's you. You're involved.
All right, Dad.
I told you. Just be careful who your friends are.
After Casado's statement to leave Brighton, how does a player readjust back with the squad and manager? And have you been in the dressing room when the player wanted to leave but ended up staying?
Remind me what his statement was.
It was, I love Brighton. I'm very happy with everything that they've done for me and my career.
But I'm out of here.
I want to leave.
Yeah. See ya.
Players don't have a problem with that.
No?
Yeah. No.
Adam Lallana said good riddance when he was asked about it.
Well, maybe Adam Lallana doesn't get on with Caicedo, but generally players, certainly players at a club like Brighton, as good as they are, as high as they are right now, every single player that plays at a club like Brighton wants to play for Chelsea or Man City or Liverpool or they want to play at the top teams.
Right.
So they all understand that sometimes you may just get one opportunity and you have to take it. So the fact that he says that, unless you've got a beef with him, it seems like Lallana has, every single one of them might do the same thing in their shoes.
Players aren't going to care one way or the other, as TV says, but the fans will, and the manager has to figure out how he's going to manage that dynamic.
Don says there's millions of Casados in the world, so it doesn't really matter.
There is.
That's all right.
There is.
There it is.
By the way,
I guarantee you, Dan, in our day, when he walked through the dressing room door, we'd all went, boo!
Right.
And we'd have took the mickey out of him. We'd have took the mickey out of him. 5 minutes later, everything's fine.
What are your sources saying about Casado and the reaction he's going to get in the dressing room, Jules?
I don't know. I think it's done now. He didn't move. He wanted to move. I think he's going to go back into it. De Zerbi needs him. He's very important in the system and how they play and how they build from the back, all that kind of things. And he will want to move again in the summer. And let's see if that big offer is there in the summer as well. Let's hope for him that he finishes the season well, that there's no injury, there's no problems. And then see what Brighton do in the summer. You can understand from a Brighton point of view why they didn't want to let him go. Especially they didn't have time to get a replacement or would not have time to get a replacement. But you can also see why you would be disappointed that they didn't let him go when that offer was on the table.
De Zerbi was good, wasn't he?
I need to make an official apology to Adam Lallana because he didn't say that about Casado.
Trossard. He said that about Trossard.
Well, you could have told me that before I started spouting on, Don.
Well, I'm not crystal ball. I didn't realise you were going to say that about Caicedo. You said it about Trossard.
You heard it, though.
Well, I know, but I just wanted to sort of let it go. I fell for you.
Okay. I apologise. Apologise to Adam Lallana for that. Don, how does Jorginho rank on your all-important and carefully curated list of quality midfielders that cost less than £50 million? How do you rate his move to Arsenal?
All right, his move, really good. 12 million quid, that's 12 million. 18-month deal, I think, with an option of a third. The way he plays the game, I think he's perfect for Arteta's style. I think Arteta's always been a fan of his. I think it's a no-brainer. In the land of spending £120 million on a number eight that doesn't score a million goals, that cost £10 million last year. £12 million for him, who's won everything in the game, seems a bargain.
Meanwhile, Mark Cucurella learned Jorginho left Chelsea in the middle of an interview. This was great because they were asking him a series of questions, including who's the most intelligent player? And he said, oh, Jorginho, no doubt about it. And they were like, well, you can't say him because he's left the club. And Cucurella's like, no, he hasn't gone. Yes, yeah, he has gone. Do the guys have any strange stories about finding out about a teammate's transfer? Must be weird, like you go in one day and they're gone.
Yeah. Actually, it was the only one I can think of that surprised me was Peter Beardsley.
Right.
When he went to Everton, from straight from Liverpool to Everton. I just found it strange that you would let such a good player go.
And did you have a conversation with him about it? Like, was there
No, he'd gone.
Is there a little, like a cake?
No. Cucurella. He was gone.
You know, like here? Yeah. Here they have a big ESPN sign, isn't it? Everyone signs it. You could have that. Best wishes.
I really want to know where you're going with this.
He's going back to school.
Oh, I really want to know where you're going.
Shaq?
I can't think of anything. Ginola leaving Newcastle came as a little bit of a surprise to me, but that was in the summer.
Right.
Did you
turn up and the goalkeeper you normally train with just gone somewhere?
No, not.
What about you, Don?
I can't remember, Dan.
Coley, Andy Cole. Well, you there were Andy Cole Shack when he left Newcastle.
I joined after Coley left.
Yeah, that was a shock, being a Newcastle fan.
Yeah.
My only strange one, Dan, was leaving Everton in a swap deal with a youngster at Everton who was going the other way to Sheffield United. And on the way to potentially sign a contract, obviously me and the lad weren't in touch, so we didn't know if I was going to accept the terms. I didn't know if he was going to accept his terms at Sheffield United. So we both going the other way. He's going from Everton to Sheffield United. I'm on the motorway going the other way. And I had to just sit in the hotel with my agent watching Sky Sports and watching the ticker going across the bottom to see if the kid had landed in Sheffield to do his medical. And I'm sitting there thinking, like, please pass your medical. He passed his medical, he got the phone call, get yourself to Goodison, you're good to sign. But it was stressful.
Oh, exciting. Shaka, since you've become the mayor of Newcastle, they've gone from strength to strength. It's strange,
yes.
Yeah?
Yes.
Since you're given freedom of the city, they've done extremely well.
That's the effect they have, Dan.
That is the only reason, clearly, as to why their success has come.
Just Don reminded me there. I don't know whether you guys will remember a guy called Derek Statham.
No. Mm.
Well, he was a great left back, and unfortunately, he didn't play for England. I don't think he played for England at all, only because there were so many good left backs then. But Graham Souness was signing him for Liverpool on a short-term deal.
Okay.
Now, this is a guy who'd been at West Brom pretty much his whole career. He'd been, yes, in the First Division, but basically in the middle of the First Division his whole career. Never won anything. Gets a chance to go to Liverpool. Signs the agree all the terms, signs the whole thing, and then he has his medical, and he failed his medical.
And I
remember walking into the players' lounge, and he was on the phone to somebody, and I didn't know, and I turned around, and I said, "Oh, hey, how you doing? You know, congratulations." And he just looked at me and went, "I'm not saying," His face, it was like the blood drained out of his face.
Oh.
I mean, you talk about disappointed. What an absolute nightmare for the guy.
What a lovely, uplifting story.
Oh.
Shaka, since you've become the mayor of Newcastle, they've gone from strength to strength.
Yes.
You plan to run for the sporting body of Trinidad and Tobago.
No. Is the short answer to that question?
Wow.
No.
No?
A definitive no.
Wow, that's very definitive.
It's...
What if you became one of Jules' special sources at the sporting...
Snitches, you mean?
Why did you...
Because then financially...
how is that supposed to change things, being one of Jules'...
Well, financially he could reward you.
He already says he doesn't reward his.
Yeah, right.
Okay, that is it. Jules, before we go, just give us an update. Enzo, not confirmed yet?
Not yet, no, but Marcel Sabitzer to Manchester United, as we explained on the show. This one has been announced just now by Manchester United for the loan from Bayern Munich. It all went really quickly. He flew over from Munich, went to Carrington to do his, or to the hospital to do his medical. It's all done now. And I mean, he won't be able to play tomorrow, but he should be able to play at the weekend and then in midweek, because United have obviously two games coming up back to back now in the league.
How did he get from Munich to Manchester? He flew in. And what about that other one, that Ziyech guy? What's he up to?
So the latest I got from PSG is that they believe they did everything on time, that the problem, as we said on the show, was on the league's end. Their system seems to have broke down through the evening. The league, maybe they were just too many deals. I don't know why, but no, it's true. It's a true story, I promise you. So they have to wait until tomorrow to see if FIFA and the league, etc., can sort this. They're still quite positive that the deal will go through, but we'll have to wait until tomorrow.
That's it. How long did it take you to get home from the studios, Jules?
Now, obviously, there's no traffic at this time, so 45 minutes. I've been in my bed in an hour, so thank you very much for having me on tonight for so long. I can stay longer if you want me to,
No, that's fine. How long will it take you to get to bed, Don?
10 seconds.
She's just going to fall over.
She's got you sleeping in the garage again. ESPN FC is back on your screen tomorrow. Be sure to join us. Of course, more reaction to what we've seen on Transfer Deadline Day.